Live.
We are the incredible critics, incredible not because we're great, but because our credibility should seriously be in question. I am Ben Franco. This week, we're talking about Black Widow, the savior of cinema. Joining me as always is Tim Lasers Gruber.
I thought Tenet was the savior of the theater, Ben.
No, it tried. Valiant effort.
I know. A year too soon, I guess, evidently. Yeah. Oh, hey, Ben.
How's it going?
It's good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Keep busy. I feel like it's been like a month since you've been on, or maybe it's been a month since like we've been on together.
That might be it. I was on, was I on like 2 weeks ago?
Maybe. But I think I was out 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
So, and then I was the week or two before that.
Anyway. It's been like we're playing pod tag.
Yeah. You know, we'll go with that. We'll go with that term. How's it been? You fully moved into the new house? Making any?
Good. We're getting there. We're getting there. We got a new TV this week. I don't know if you can see it. It's made out of cardboard. Mario and Luigi were
Noise.
No, we actually got a real new TV this week, Ben.
Really?
A 4K, 50-inch Vizio. Nice.
Okay.
Which was really, we liked it a lot. Uh-huh. Had it. Got it on Thursday, installed it Thursday night. It looked great. Had it all day Friday, played some video games.
I don't like where the story's heading. Uh-oh.
I had someone over and watched Black Widow on Disney Plus.
Okay.
Saturday morning, we played some Mario. We went to the pool. We came back from the pool. The TV didn't work anymore.
You turned it off and it never turned back on?
I turned it on and it had a giant bar down the side of the screen.
Oh no.
So my girls made us a new TV out of cardboard because they really wanted to play Mario. They made a Mario game.
Nice.
Yeah, we have no idea. Here's the kicker.
Uh-huh.
I normally don't throw my boxes away.
Oh no.
Because, you know.
Yep.
Paranoia. Yep. And this particular week, my trash came on Friday, the morning after I installed the TV, and I was like, I'm going to just throw the box out.
Yep.
Who needs it? Good news is I was able to return it still to Walmart.
Surely you weren't the first person to try to bring back a TV without a box at Walmart.
They were looking at me so funny, dude. They were like, was this a floor model? No, actually, no, it wasn't.
Nope. No. Just threw that box away.
Not really.
My first TV, I held onto the box for like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
All my TVs since then, I threw them out right away.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. They could be in my attic, but I'm pretty sure.
Well, now I have PTSD again about throwing boxes out.
Yeah.
And just the vicious cycle starts all over again.
Is there like a rough price point at which you save versus don't save the box?
No. This was just spontaneous. I threw the box
but I mean
out.
Like just in general. Like
price point. That's a good question.
Because usually for me, I'd say it's probably about like $200. Like at $200, I'll keep the box.
I guess it probably depends on if it's an electronic device and what exactly it is.
Right.
I think it depends. There's too many variables. It's not
under $200. We usually only keep it if it's from Costco. Because
although Costco returns stuff without boxes,
it's true. But you know,
yeah, and everybody
they have to look it up a lot easier. It's a lot easier to look up if you have.
That's true. Literally, everybody told me to just go to Costco and buy a TV, and I was like, those TVs aren't on sale. I'm not going to Costco.
It's true.
I'm like trying to get a deal. So now, at this point, I have a TV mount on the wall with a bunch of cords.
And no TV.
Just above the mantle. Just that's my decoration for the mantle. And I have our old TV now on this TV stand.
I mean, if you have a TV, I mean, we're getting closer than ever to Black Friday.
That's true. That's true,
it's just 4 months.
Yeah, I think the sad thing is I missed out on Prime Day TV deals. Because TVs were on sale everywhere on Prime Day, and they were basically Black Friday prices. Oh. I should have gotten it then, and I didn't.
But you didn't.
And anyways, now I'm just chilling. So, that's my story.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what? Do you want to talk about the Fast and the Furious guy and what's on, or talk about that now?
Let's go to what's on. That...
Okay, all right. Tim, you have been sending some of the just best content our way.
Such content. Maybe we'll just repost it onto our Incredible Critics Facebook stories.
Yeah. Something. Yeah.
There's a guy, I don't know how real it is, but there's a guy who does, I think his whole TikTok is about musical theater stuff. It's like he silly, clearly weird seems... characters.
He clearly seems like he's like a
theater buff,
a professional musician.
Yeah,
like,
yes,
he
yeah,
looks
yeah,
like he could be on on Broadway or off Broadway.
Yeah, yeah, sounds like he could be. Yeah, he's definitely got that vibe, and he homeboy is making some real good TikTok about Fast and Furious. So I don't know how I discovered it. I don't remember if it was sent to me or what happened, but this guy did his first one is he basically sets it up with this is Fast and Furious if it were a musical, because 2 weeks ago Vin Diesel is quoted as saying that he would love if there was a Fast and Furious musical and it was gonna be awesome, he would be all over it and he would do it. Okay. So he said, this is Fast and Furious, if it was a musical, and written by me, somebody who's never seen a Fast and Furious movie.
His TikTok is at Rocky's Road.
And so, now I'll say, some of his TikTok stuff might not be family friendly, but these Fast and Furious ones are clean and hilarious.
They are so funny.
So it's just like the most ridiculous things that you could pull out of just the fandom of Fast and Furious without ever knowing anything, like the most surface level details, like the word family. Did I send you guys the one where he does a whole acronym? So now he has, I think, three or four of these. The first the first one is like he's Dom Vin Diesel fixing a car with a hammer, and it's just him in front of like a fake car background, and he's just being totally ridiculous, and he's like singing about how he would love if he had a bro with him out on the road. He just needs a bro, like to drive in the open, you know, highways or whatever. It's ridiculous. Then there's one where he's Letty. So he has this wig on in this costume, and he's like singing about how much Letty must love Dom because he's such a family man.
He still don't get it, do you, Blondie? If you want to work in my auto body, remember, F is for the fuel, which helps the car go vroom. A is for the arms that steer the wheel, which helps it move.
Oh my goodness.
M is for the miles we're bound to travel.
So, and I'll say, like, the first one.
Following along so far. Hey, Dom, I think I am. Well.
So good.
So good. And so, and then the first one, though, I think is the best because he's like, I've been hammering all day and I'm dreaming of what my life could be if I just, I'm never going to win the race. And then he's like, and if only I had a bro with me to help me along the way.
It's so the polar opposite of anything Fast and the Furious, which is what makes it genius. And I would 100% would watch a full movie written by this dude.
That, so that was your comment to us in the group, was like, I would rather watch this than Fast and Furious 9.
I would rather watch 9 or 10 different movies like this than actually watch Fast and Furious.
So this was definitely on in my, I mean, I was like, I like play them randomly and then it's stuck in my head because the first, especially the first one, is like super catchy for some horrible reason. And then I'm like walking around the house like,
yeah,
like, oh, fiddlesticks. I'm never going to win the big race. And it's I've been so hammering good. All day. So funny. So that, and then, I mean, just speaking of movie musicals, so In the Heights came out a few weeks ago on HBO Max, written by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, so like and everybody's all hyped about that movie.
Oh. I didn't watch it, but I'm I did
like,
watch.
Can I just say, I'm okay, like yes. specifically avoiding watching the movie because everybody's all on that hype train. And sometimes when that happens, I'm just like, no, so, I'm not watching that. No, it's garbage. I don't want it. I don't want it. And then, I don't want it. I'm not going to watch it.
Eventually you cave. Your pride caves in.
And then I watch it and it's fantastic.
Well, yeah. And then you watch Hamilton and it. And you don't even get through an hour of it. And you look at your wife and she's like, this is not that great. What were people thinking? And I'm like,
yeah,
it's not that great.
I don't care
to watch any more of it.
Like one song into the Hamilton recording. Yeah. But I also think that's part of the problem of it being a recording.
That's what I was going to say too.
Hamilton did not work as a recording. And I say that having watched 3 minutes of it.
I know people who've seen it on Broadway like multiple times and they say the same thing. They're like, okay. I'm not really going to watch it on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It's better live. Anyways, no, I was going to say, so in the vein of other ridiculous things on TikTok, there's somebody who has collected video footage from different high schools that have performed in the Heights.
Okay.
But it's mostly white teenagers. And so it's and so it's hashtag in the whites.
Okay.
And it's amazing. And it's these it's these teenagers just failing at everything about it. Because why are white teenagers performing this musical? Who knows? So pretty funny. I'll probably send you guys some of those because they're just too funny. But yeah, then other than that, Black Widow, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Been watching some Deep Space Nine. And then, I mean, I got to say, on the video game front, I got my girls into Super Mario, New Super Mario Deluxe.
Nice.
The one that was it's like the up-res of New Super Mario Bros. From the Wii U.
Okay.
And it has the four player mode where you can play with four people at the same time.
Nice.
You're trying to finish a level and it's an absolute nightmare.
Are you racing or
you're in the same screen. Yeah. So you can smash on top of people. You can walk. If you keep walking forward, it pulls the other people until they basically just fall off and die if they're not paying attention. My girls absolutely loved every minute of it. It was very stressful for me. Very stressful. I'm trying to do these jumps, these like, you know, precision jumps to finish the level.
Sure.
And every time they touch something, like a power up or an enemy, the screen, everything pauses for a split second. Because that's actually like what happens in Mario when you get a power up and you you grow or you get a power up and you turn into fire flower Mario.
Right.
But when somebody else does it and everybody freezes and then like all the timing is off and it's just my girls loved it. So that's what I'm. Nice. What have you been watching?
I have been catching up on Loki. I was away for a couple of weeks and
okay,
I think I was 3 episodes behind
and you were dragging your feet to like, I don't even know if I should I even watch any of this superhero mumbo jumbo.
Know you know all that Marvel stuff, you know, Captain Falcon and the Winter Soldier, you know, left a bad taste in my mouth.
It was too super for you. Just
didn't Didn't want more of that. I knew I was going to watch it. Because the one thing I'll always say about Marvel films is the more you watch, the better watching it is, right? Because you, like, if you haven't seen any of the Marvel films and you watch Endgame, it's like you're going to miss, like, so much of what makes that movie fun. So,
but it builds. Everything builds.
So yeah. I keep up on it, even if I'm not a huge fan of all of it. But, so we're 5 out of 6 episodes into Loki, and I got to say, I am on board
with
this series.
Awesome.
The only thing that I have to say about it that is remotely negative is whatever this romance is between Loki and Sylvie
is
garbage.
Weirding everybody out.
It's so bad. I messaged you guys because I was just like, is anybody else just like completely like unimpressed?
Right.
It feels so forced and awkward, and it shouldn't because they're both great actors.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's terrible.
Well, the fact that how many episodes in before we meet Sylvie?
I think she shows up at the end of 2.
Okay. Yeah, and then
it's the second or the third.
I want to say she doesn't have dialogue until the third episode.
Yeah.
So it's like that for sure. They're like trying to build her up as a character, and then simultaneously just like, surprise, Loki has some kind of feelings for her, but there's also just other circumstances that make it bizarre and like confusing.
I mean, okay, so, spoilers for Loki if you haven't seen it, but Sylvie is another Loki.
It's like an alternate Loki.
How are they not going into what that looks like?
How does this work?
Like, yeah. And it's Disney, so they'll just, you know, skip right over that. But yeah, it's just... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, at the same time, like, Owen Wilson's character, Mobius, is like, you know how weird this is, right?
Like, yeah.
It's not right. And it's real bizarre.
Owen Wilson is gold in this role.
He's great. He's great, and he's fantastic. He's not ever going to say wow. It's already been confirmed. He never says wow.
Wow. I had to go down.
Wow. Oh, the dog's dead. Wow. Yeah, he's been awesome. And again, like, the actors, there's some really great moments, like character moments with these different actors. But then there's kind of a weird contrived romance thing that
just doesn't work.
Doesn't have reasoning behind it other than narcissism.
Hey, we spent a little bit of time together. Now we're falling in love. But I'm very interested to see where it goes in the 6th episode. I really hope it doesn't go like WandaVision and get to I will also say the action in it very poorly done.
Oh, you think so?
It feels,
you think, like, it's just the editing?
It's oddly cut together, and also it feels, the action feels like it has a TV show budget.
It's like,
you know.
Yeah, I get that. I'm trying to think through the whole thing where they're running through the city in that episode 3 or 4.
Yeah, the they're fake running one through shot.
This city. Yeah, it's a fake one shot, but it's so, everything that they go through that whole sequence is just kind of samey. Like, it's hard to know if they're actually doing anything or getting anywhere. And some of that is, I think, green screen stuff.
Sure.
And some of that is probably the editing and the set design. Like, it's just like a combination of things. It definitely could be better. It's definitely like, you're seeing these characters that fight close, like they're supposed to be doing hand-to-hand combat. They got these little daggers or like a sword and a fist, and they're it's definitely not anything close to even like Daredevil, Luke Cage,
nowhere
any
close.
Of the Marvel. No. Like, I mean, it's definitely closer to Iron Fist. Let's be real, but but yeah, I get that. But yeah, I'm enjoying the show. I'm all right. So Ben, I gotta ask you, who do you think is the Wizard of Oz? Behind the scenes.
Only because I read up on like some fan theories. Was it Immortus?
Okay. Yeah.
Was the main Kang. Theory that
so,
I read?
Yeah. Immortus is a version of Kang the Conqueror. Yeah.
Right.
Immortus has ties to Raven, the Judge Renslinger, whatever.
Played by
I almost said Ruina. Yeah, I almost said Ruina Ravenclaw. It's Harry Potter. Yeah.
Still, though, nearly identical. So that was the theory that I read.
He is supposed to be in... He's going to be in Quantum... Ant-Man and the Wasp 3.
Right.
Ant-Man 3. Quantumania. And played by... I can't remember his name. From Lovecraft Country. Which is probably going to be awesome. But Yeah, I don't know. Unless they reveal at the beginning of this episode who it is immediately, and we have a whole episode to like understand what's going on. Like they there's not even a character that they've set up to be the big bad.
Yeah.
Like at all.
Yeah.
It's definitely not Judge Renslinger Reinhold. Or whatever. Yeah, Judge Reinhold. It's definitely not Judge Reinhold. I don't think it's Mobius, but that could be a really good twist, which would be fun.
Whatever happens, I just want to keep Owen Wilson in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I would love it. I would love it.
So,
yes. And he hinted in an interview that you could see Mobius in other things. But if the TVA is trashed, then why would you see Owen Wilson
right
in anything? That doesn't make sense.
Well, that'll be set up in the sixth episode.
I was gonna say it could be another Loki, but
sure,
we would have to have a really good reason for it to be another Loki, you know. What I mean, like it's been kind of shallow. Guess... fun to see different versions of Loki, but kind of shallow.
The thing that would be fun about it is if it is Immortus, and like you said, that person's already signed on for the third
Ant-Man.
That'd
be great.
Then you're just, you know, there doesn't have to be that big, you know, boss battle, you know, at the end. Like, it can just be setting up something that pays off in a future movie or TV show. It doesn't necessarily have to have that epic conclusion because... it'll tie into something else. So that's what makes me excited for it. And that's what makes me hopeful that it's not like WandaVision and gets all, you know,
too superhero-y
for, yeah.
Ben, was the Vision solving his problem with a philosophy conundrum superhero-y for you?
No, loved that.
Ben, tell me that what you know about the ship of Theseus.
let's go. I'm trying to remember any part of that dialogue, and I don't remember it at all.
I just remember I had to pause it recently when my girls were watching it to be like, because they were like, "What did he say? The what of what?"
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, I loved that whole scene. It wasn't that scene. It was everything with Catherine Hahn's character that I just couldn't stand. All right, enough about that. Let's move over to more Marvel and talk about Black Widow.
I tell people my sister moved out west. You're a science teacher. Your husband, he renovates houses. You're thinking about moving, but you're gonna wait until the interest rates go down.
That's not my story. Before I was an Avenger, I made mistakes. And a lot of enemies.
His call sign's Taskmaster.
That is from the trailer to Black Widow. Tim, you've seen it. It's available in theaters or on Disney Plus for $30.
Yep. Disney Plus Premium.
Premier Access.
Prices. So, we decided to watch it on Disney Plus. Because I knew that as long as there wasn't any like super crazy, horribly violent things, that my girls would want to watch it. So I'm not taking all of them to the theater to see this movie. That's crazy. I mean, talk.
You actually save a bit of money.
Yes. Yeah.
Just watch it home. Which, yeah, I gotta say, real quick, $30. When you're thinking of renting a movie, you're like, oh, $30, yeah, because you don't own it.
Yeah.
You don't own it. You're renting
the movie. Basically renting it. Yeah. You're really just paying to have earlier access temporarily. But
then when you start doing the math and you're like, okay, well, if I go see it opening night in reclining chairs with one other person, I'm pretty much already at $30.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's not as bad as it seems initially.
Yeah. So it was good. I watched, Brittany and I watched it, with, my buddy, Nat, who was a children's pastor at our church. We were out of Doylestown. And so he drove over from Quakertown and we watched it and, you know, overall enjoyed the movie. It's not Winter Soldier. It does have the Winter Soldier kind of vibe as far as some of the spy thriller, political thriller kind of stuff. Sure. It has definitely has some great moments, some really funny dialogue back and forth just because of the way that the characters are just different. You know, we have like... one of the characters is essentially like Russian Captain America. And so he actually has Carl tattooed on one hand and Marx tattooed on the other.
Nice.
And he says these really outlandish things about like communism and about like Marx being a Marxist and like all this crazy stuff. And he's also like, his values are so far off, but he's still like a personable person. So his values are like, wow, you know, you joined the Avengers and you grew up to be amazing. And he's talking to Florence Pugh's character. And he's like, and you became the most successful and most deadly child assassin that the planet has ever known. And I'm so proud of you girls and stuff. And it's just this twisted, like, that's not things to be proud of. What are you talking about? So there's some funny stuff like that. Some funny, just funny, moments that are not funny in the same way as like an Ant-Man would be funny. You know, they're not these witty things. They're just these like really like ridiculous in the moment because Black Widow is basically the straight man and other people are saying these like totally outlandish things around her. Overall, like if somebody's super into Marvel, I'd say go check it out. Like I think it would be a really cool theater experience. It's not going to rate for me. Not going to rate super high on the list of all the Marvel movies. Like it's not in the top.
Putting you on the spot. Name one movie better than it and then name one movie worse than it.
Well, that's, yeah. Better than it, Avengers Endgame.
Well, yeah, I don't mean like top of the list and bottom of the list. I mean like it's roughly in the better than this movie, not as good as this movie.
Like, I'd say it's better than
Thor 2.
Definitely better than Thor 2. It's it's close to the bottom, but for me, like, I do like all the Marvel movies, unlike you.
Sure.
Or you probably have some that you just absolutely loathe.
Well, the problem is I don't remember half of them. So
yes. Okay, good. Okay.
I'd have to rewatch them to rank them, and I'm not doing that.
Yeah, yeah. But it would be good content, Ben.
Yeah.
Anyways, do it for the content for all of our viewers.
Because nobody's ranked Marvel movies before.
And yet people still keep doing it, Ben.
It's true.
Okay, so, you know, it's tough. I would say it's probably, like, lower than, for me, maybe above Iron Man 3. Like, Iron Man 3 is probably one of the lower ones for me. I think okay. Iron Man 2 was like, yeah. I don't know what would be just above it, to be honest.
Okay.
I don't know.
No,
but it's
that's fine.
Bottom. It's in the bottom five. Let's just say
25th.
That.
Bottom 25th percentile.
Bottom 25th. Again, I wouldn't say, like, I don't think it was a bad movie. I think there was some plot stuff that was, even I was like, eh. I think what people were worried about with some of the stakes not feeling awesome is totally true and very warranted. We already know what happens to Black Widow in Avengers Endgame. So
it's part of the problem with any prequel. Like, that's how I felt watching like the first three or episodes 1 through 3 in Star Wars. Like,
right.
I know what's gonna,
like, Anakin's
happen.
Not gonna get murdered, like, by a Clone Wars.
Or right. And he's also not going to be redeemed, because that happens in the next three movies. Like, this is only going downhill. It's like, what's the point?
Yeah. So there's definitely a little bit of that. I think it honestly, if somebody was watching Marvel stuff for the first time, like watching Civil War and watching this, would be fine.
Gotcha.
It's not as hype as Civil War, but it's a little bit of a different feel. It's less Avengers-y than Civil War was. And it would fit in the middle there fine, because that's where it takes place, like, timeline wise.
But like, okay. So spoilers for Black Widow.
Yes,
you know, but like, my thing is, like, you have the multiverse. This could be a different Black Widow with a different story. Like,
true,
could tie that in with that, and
that's true.
Increase the stakes.
I think they would have to. Yeah, I think they would have had to have really. I mean, the like post credit stuff would have had to really be multiverse heavy. Out of nowhere, you know, and there was a post credit scene.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, we do it. Yeah, we're on spoiler mode.
Yeah, we're in spoilers. Because I gotta say, so I haven't seen it, but I read what the post credit was, because I was most interested in that.
So yeah, I'm pumped. Like, I think I'm pumped for this post credits. Basically, this was supposed to air before Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Interesting.
What's her name from Seinfeld? Julia Louis-Dreyfus is in it. So what's interesting is we don't know for sure from Falcon and the Winter Soldier if there's an agenda or if there's a deal, or is she bad?
Sure.
Is she good? Why is she recruiting, you know, Captain Crazy Pants? To be a fake Captain America. And in this post-credit scene, she's very clearly, well, you know, our employer wants you to go after a new target, and that target happens to be Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And so this is her talking to Florence Pugh, who is basically the new Black Widow, for all intents and purposes.
Yep.
So And it's after Endgame. She's at Black Widow's grave.
Right.
And, or, you know, empty grave. And so there's this feeling, though, but to be honest, I wasn't buying it as much. Like, I wasn't buying that somehow she was going to be... She did some, like, really good things in the course of the movie. Like, her character is not...
Sure.
Does not seem like a bad guy at all. Like, it's actually very clear at the beginning that she's been doing bad things still because she was forced to do them and literally didn't have a choice. And so it's kind of like, you know... Why?
Well, she can be good, but her employer be bad, or she can be doing bad things for noble reasons. You know, there's a lot of ways to set up. All I have to say is, like, I'm super stoked that Julie Louis-Dreyfus is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I want more of whatever they want her to bring, because she's fantastic, and this character seems perfect for her.
Oh, definitely. It's this cool twist on things where I think she's basically the reverse Nick Fury,
right?
Who is now going through, like, we're gonna see her in every other thing, and she's creating a Dark Avengers or something.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So it's awesome. Yeah, I'm pumped though. Pumped.
Sweet. Well. If you want to let us know what you thought of Black Widow, hop on Facebook, facebook.com/incrediblecritics, Instagram, we don't update our Instagram, Twitter, we don't update our Twitter. You really, Facebook, I guess.
Just get on that Facebook, everyone.
Get on that Facebook. It's our age group. We're Snapchat, TikTok, that's not us. Until next week, we are the Incredible Critics. There's that.
We did it. We did.
We did it.
We did it. David Harbour is so funny, though, I gotta say.
Oh, he's great.
He's so good. Because in this, he's just such a completely different character than, like, Hopper in Stranger Things. Good. It's good.
So good.
So